Hola, amigos. This is Frank. Welcome back to the 15 Minutes with Frank podcast, where for 15 minutes we talk about student ministry. Today's topic, global warming. Just kidding. That's not at all a topic we're ever going to talk about on this podcast. But since you've come here, I'm so, so grateful that you want to spend a few minutes with me to talk about student ministry. I have an interesting little episode today. Before we dive into that, I just want to say I was looking over at the reviews on iTunes, and my heart is warm, friends. My heart is warm. Some of y'all have said some of the nicest things on there, and it makes me so happy. Like, you guys are the nicest, the best, and I just so appreciate it. So again, if you haven't done so, please rate and review the podcast over on iTunes. It helps us out, helps me out. I like to say the proverbial us, like there's more than one person doing this, but it's just me, my microphone, and my MacBook. So it's just me. So it would mean a lot to me if you rate and review this podcast. You guys have said some super nice things about this little project of mine, and it means a lot to me. Also, if you haven't done so, please subscribe to the email newsletter at frankgill.me. If you go there and you subscribe, you will get my new ebook, 10 Tips for Preaching to Students or for Students or however I titled it. It's a little ebook that I made to help you be able to preach and teach the students better. Some tips of the trade that I've learned over the some years I've been a youth pastor, and if it's benefited me, I'm sure it'll benefit you. That was my phone that chirped, and the reason why my phone is so close to the microphone is because I wrote down some notes. So today's Monday, so yesterday's Sunday. Last Sunday, on Sunday nights, I have my student ministry. Last Sunday, we didn't have youth group because it was Mother's Day. And I know this was a question everyone asked, do you cancel a youth group on Mother's Day? The answer is always yes. If your youth group is on a Sunday, you should always cancel on Mother's Day or Father's Day. Unless it's like a Sunday school thing that goes with service. Like, you know, like if you're like a Sunday school before the main service and kids are wanting to come to Sunday school, yeah, do your thing, right? But like if you have like your own youth service on a Sunday night, for sure, cancel that thing. One, because you need a break. You need to be able to maybe call your mom and say, Mama, thank you for birthing me. If you are a father, you should talk to your baby mama and say, Baby mama, thank you for being my baby mama, and thank you for birthing children for me. And so let me not spend the night with teenagers, but let me spend the night with my baby mama. You should be doing that. Those are all things you should be doing. This is one of the things that I only are up for debate. I think Mother's Day, Father's Day are definitely days you should take off. Memorial Day, Labor Day, whatever other weird Sundays. I mean, Labor Day is not a Sunday, I don't think. But like those other Sundays, no. You can have youth group those days. But like Mother's Day and Father's Day, Christmas, I take off for Thanksgiving weekend. I'm trying to think of any other holidays that are significant enough that's like a mandatory get out of there. I think those are the main ones. Christmas, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, and Father's Day. I don't think there's any other holidays that you need to take off. You could take off other holidays, but I think like those are like, there should be no debate. The Sunday after Christmas, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, and Father's Day, get out of there. Get out of there. Cancel that service. Oh, yeah, Easter. Easter for sure don't have service. Like, basically, like, those days should be days for family. And, like, when you have services that, like, pull away the family, you know, that's rough. And I get it, there's kids in your youth group who probably might not have family like that. But, like, dude, those days, and make them part of your family or something. But like, the important thing is, like, you don't want to do that. So this segues perfectly into what I want to talk about today. They have youth group last Sunday. And so what I want to do is talk about everything I do for parents, okay? So this is a question that, like, I get a lot. Like, what is your parent ministry philosophy? What do you do? And so, first off, let me say, and this is something that someone has said before that I actually appreciate. I am not a guru, okay? Like dudes like Doug Fields, amazing minds, right? Like, they really have answers for almost everything, right? I'm not an expert, dude. Like, I don't think I'll ever claim to be an expert. you know, if I'm an expert at anything, it's the dumbest parts of student ministry, right? Like how many pizzas per person you should purchase. Like that I can probably tell you with like expert authority, like how much you should get, right? Or like how many chicken wings should you order if you're having a dude's football watching party. Like those are, I'll be experts in. But like everything else in student ministry, dude, I'm just gonna give you my opinions. I'm gonna give you my thoughts and what I've experienced. It works in my context, the context I've been in. There's stuff that works in this context that haven't worked in previous contexts. And so with that being said, everything I say here is just ideas for you to take, to steal, and to put in your mind and apply it to your ministry. But when it comes to parents, let me be the first and foremost to say this. I'm not the greatest at this. I am just as fallible, just as a sinner in need of grace as anyone else when it comes to parent ministry. But there's a lot of things I've done that have worked well. There's things I've done that's flopped on their face, and there's things I've just stolen because other people are just killing it, and so I take their ideas. So what I want to do for the next however long, because 15 minutes is just an asterisk, right? It's at least 15 minutes with Frank. It's probably going to be more. What I want to do for the rest of this time is just share with you everything I do when it comes to the subject of parents and what's worked for me, some things, some resources. I'll link everything I can. If there's a link to something, it will be on the website. And if you have any questions, let me know. The website is frankgill.me, and you'll be able to go there and click on stuff. There's some new free stuff, questions, whatever. Hit me up, email me, tweet me, Facebook me, Instagram me, DM me, Snapchat me if you're weird, all that stuff. All right, let's talk about parent ministry. What do I do for parents, all right? So I already said this, take off on those holidays. That's important because that gives a level of saying like, I care about your families. Like I care about, I'm more, when you say you're a youth pastor, you're not just a pastor to students. You're a pastor to the students and you're a pastor to the parents. And that's like something you have to earn because so many churches have like created this weird dichotomy that like the youth pastor is the only pastor for the students and the senior pastor is the pastor to everyone else. But no, if your title is pastor, according to the scriptures, you are a pastor, an elder. You have authority that the church and the Lord has given you over the people in that church. You're one of the pastors, right? And so when I say, listen, I am a pastor over three different groups in the context of my ministry, my students, the parents of the students, and the leaders. Those are who I pastor in my immediate context, but obviously I'm a pastor of my church. So with that being said, taking those days off, hyper important, because that communicates to the families that we value what's happening at the home. And so Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, we're not here to compete with the family, because the family is so important, right? Those kids that don't have families, the foster care kids, the kids who are in broken homes, those are special situations that you can work with and contextualize. But when it comes to the average kid in your youth group that comes from homes, like families, like normal families, let them be with their families. That communicates good stuff, all right? So in my leader handbook, one of the very first few pages we say is that our job is to come alongside the parents. And so what that means is this, is that like this is very orange, and if you ever heard of Orange or used Orange, like they kill, like they dominate this idea of like the purpose of parents within the context of the ministry. And how like parents, like what happens at home is more important than what happens at church. Like I only get 2 hours a week with students, maybe 4 hours a week. If you have a Sunday and a Wednesday thing, you know what I'm saying? You only have so many hours. Parents have way more influence than you and I will ever have. And so therefore, what our job should not be to compete with the parents. The way I like to phrase this is this, and I don't know where I heard this from, but this is the way I phrase it. I always phrase it like this. My job is to instill in the hearts of the kids what the parents ought to be teaching them, all right? And so that's a safe sentence to say. I'll say it again. My job is to instill in the hearts of the students what their parents ought to be teaching them. And what that means is this, is every parent's like job, according to the Lord, is to raise them up in the gospel, right? Wash them in the word, like raise them in a way that points them to Jesus. So that's what they ought to be teaching them. Now, obviously that doesn't happen all the time. And so that's where sometimes us as youth pastors and small group leaders and stuff like that come in and be the fathers of the fatherless, be the parents that that the spiritual parents, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to like my job, I want to make sure that's clear that my goal is to instill into the students what they ought to be of learning from their parents. So if their parents are teaching them, the gospel and the truth of scriptures, and like, or they're having devotional lives at home, then I'm just reinstilling that foundation. I'm just keeping it firm. I'm a buttress, right? Google with the word buttress. I learned that one. I think it's in Titus. It's a word that's like, describes it to reinforce something. I'm here to reinforce what the parents should be teaching them. And in those situations where the parent isn't like the main spiritual figure in their household and they're not doing their job or whatever, that's where I step in. And that's where the small groups leaders step in. And they come in and they share the good news, okay? So that's in our handbook. And so what that means is this, is a couple of things I tell my volunteer leaders is like, if you're hanging out with a kid, if you, at all, as much as you can, go up to the door and meet with the parent before you take the kid to go get ice cream or something. Like, keep the parents in the loops. Get the parents' phone number. Let them know what you're doing with your student. I'm not saying to become the parent's best friend, but the more you communicate to the parent, the better. This is what I'm telling my volunteer leaders, to get them in the habit of including their parents in the information, because 9 times out of 10, the student isn't telling the parent anything. So they're gone getting ice cream, having a great time. They could be literally studying Luther's 95 thesis. They could be literally like carving out and breaking down Leviticus, like the most godly, glorious stuff you could ever hear between a small group leader and a student, right? But the parent knows, all the parent knows is, my kid's been gone for 4 hours and I don't know where he is or she is, right? This is where it's so important to make sure student leaders, volunteer leaders are connecting with the parents. And so that's like in my handbook, like make sure you're connecting with parents. Another thing I do is that I have 2 email lists that I have for my MailChimp. So I use MailChimp as my email blast. Like, I don't know if this is like new information for anybody, but like MailChimp is this free program. And for most churches and most youth groups, you'll never have to pay a cent when it comes to MailChimp. But it's the way I make beautiful emails. So that way I'm not having these like in my own personal Gmail with tons of like emails. Like, I'm using MailChimp because it makes it look pretty and beautiful and all this other stuff. But like, but I have 2 email lists. My 1 email list is a general email list that has all the students and all the parents, right? And like, I even throw my volunteer leaders in there. This is the general email that probably goes out once a week to everyone, every single person. And I have another email list on top of that. That's another list that's much smaller, that is just parents. And this is the email list that I give out that's like very, very, like nuanced, like very specific. This only goes out maybe once a month. And this kind of like lets parents know about what's happening specifically for the students, that maybe stuff I don't want the students to know per se, but I want the parents to know. For example, I just did a series in the book of Hosea and I used the word whore in that sermon. And so I warned the parents saying like, hey, these certain phrases and thoughts are going to be coming up. I want you to know about it, right? I'm about to do a worship together weekend where I want to invite the parents. I knew an email just to students wouldn't be enough, so I want to do an email with the parents. I'll talk about something else I'm doing for worship together weekend that was kind of special. But these are all the type of things I do to make sure that the parents are well informed. So 2 email lists, one that's general with everybody, including parents, and one is just parents. And like, I think that one I'll use maybe even for like summer camp when I just want to email the parents. So that way, but maybe I won't do that. Maybe because there's not all parents have kids going to camp. So like, you might have to make a smaller email list for that, Then, okay, so this next thing, DYM has in their membership a parent newsletter. And this is one of those game-changing things that I think a lot of people don't talk about anymore. But like, in their membership, they're giving away a free parent newsletter. And it's a pretty sweet builder. Like, to make the newsletter is pretty legit. The articles are pretty legit. Like, there's some good stuff in there. I have just been failing at keeping up with it. And I think this is one of the things where it's like, this is whole other podcast, whole other episode, but like one thing I've been praying about is like, I think it's a time where I need to hire someone, an assistant or not an assistant, but someone else to assist me in youth ministry. And I'm actually in the process of developing some kind of job description. And hopefully maybe by the fall I can have that position filled. But I think I can bring this back if I have that position filled, because I'm just way too busy. Like, I just don't have margin for this kind of stuff. But DYM has this parent newsletter that's killer. And like, the articles are really, really good. like, I don't know how they do it, how they get it, how they can give it away for free in their membership, but it is such a good deal. And so if you have the DYM membership and you're not using it, you are throwing away money, because that, like, that membership, literally, that aspect of the membership is worth the $20 a month or however much it is to have the membership, because parent resources like that are hard to come by. And for it to have something so organized and clean like that, it's gold. It's good to have. So one thing I do is, a lot of times when I send an email and it's specifically for parents, I always encourage them, hey, I'd love to have coffee with you. And one thing that I'm blessed with is a church that has a coffee shop built in to our campus. And so there's a coffee shop that I can just go to and meet with parents. And parents hit me up on that. And like, if there's a kid that's going through a hard time and they're struggling with what to do, or they have questions, I meet with them. And I, you know, I do a couple of things. I answer all their questions, but I also make much of their kid and like tell them about, like, hey, you might not see this at home, but when they're in the youth group, I notice this, and this. And like, though, that information is so important for parents, because they don't see that side. A lot of times they don't see the spiritual side of their kid, and they're like frustrated and they're confused and they don't know what to do. And when they pick up their kid after youth group, all they hear is like silence or them on their phones. They don't realize that like they've just been shaped by the gospel. They don't realize that they've just been convicted of sin. They don't hear that stuff because kids don't open up to that kind of stuff to their parents. But we see it, small group leaders see it. And so if we can at any moment talk to parents about it, that'd be great. Sometimes if there's a kid who I don't have direct access with, but a parent wants to come talk to me, I will hit up their small group leader and say, hey, I'm about to meet with the parent of so-and-so. Is there anything I can encourage them about their child? You know what I'm saying? And then if I can make even another step bigger, I'll try to see, I would ask the parent, if it's okay, if when we get coffee, I can bring in their small group leader. And if the small group leader are available, they can even be as more nuanced and specific than even I can. One thing I know Justin Herman at least has done, I don't know if he does this anymore, is he sometimes like spends his entire workday in the coffee shop, and he'll just say, hey, stop by at this coffee shop between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. and I'm going to be working there with my laptop. You know, he's doing his normal business day, his normal workday. But like at any given moment, if you want to stop by and talk about your student, he's there. And he says that parents will stop by and they talk about their kid, and it's good stuff. And I've always wanted to do that. I'm also kind of scared to do that, because I'm scared to see what would actually happen. One, I don't want to be disappointed if no parents come. But two, if I'm not like prepared for which parents to stop by, that makes me kind of nervous, you know? But I think that's a great idea that Justin Herman does over at Mariners. And I think like, if you have the ability to like say to your youth pastor, hey, I'm going to go to Starbucks for the day. I'm just going to literally sit in Starbucks for the entire day with my laptop and work from there, and allow parents the opportunity to come in whenever they want to just get coffee. And if you have a budget for it to pay for their coffee and say, hey, let's talk about your kid. That's huge. That's good, dude. That's such an amazing idea. I love it. And that's something that I think, you know, I want to do more of, but yeah, parents hit me up all the time and say, hey, can we get coffee? And we talk about their kid, talk about their problems, and talk about solutions. But a lot of times it's just me listening and just reaffirming them that they're not crazy. Like, they're not terrible parents. They have kids who are being teenagers, and teenage years are rough, you know? So yeah, there's that. A couple of things also I do, and I try, here's like three little thoughts I wrote down on my phone. One, I always connect with parents when they are dropping off and pick up their kids. So when kids are being dropped off, sometimes I'll stand by the door to welcome kids. And if I see a parent that's like looking in and watching, I'll like sneak out, run out to the car, like, hey, Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, how you doing? And just literally just saying, hi, it's good to see you. And then just remind them, yeah, pick them up at 8:30, you know, if they have any questions at a given moment, I can be quick, but like, I just want to make sure that they see my face and know I'm not a stranger, especially with parents of kids who, maybe don't go to our church. You know what I'm saying? Like those type of people, I want to make sure they feel comfortable with me. Those kids that do go to church on Sunday morning, I always make an effort. If I say hi to the kid, I'm saying hi to the parent. Never just say hi to the kid. Granted, you have the relationship with the kid, and that's the great, beautiful thing about it. But you should also be willing to at least shake hands with the parents and say, hey, it's good to see you. Or if you don't know them, be like, hey, no big deal. Be like, hey, are you the mom of so-and-so or the dad of so-and-so? Oh, man, it's so nice to meet you. Like, these are super simple stuff that is going to go a long way. And then from then on, literally, if every single time you see them in the hallways, just a smile at them, so be it. But the fact that they know you is huge. I mean, some parents don't have that relationship with their school teachers, right? And those teachers have those kids 5 days a week. you're the youth pastor. You're the one investing into their child in the most important part of their life. Just saying hi to them means the world to them. And also, it kind of defeats that stereotype that like youth pastors are just overgrown teenagers, right? And I mean, we could talk about that in a sec, you know, later on another day about like, you know, how should youth pastors dress, how you should youth pastors act. But like at the end of the day, if you can be a trustworthy person, parents are going to love you. I mean, that's all it comes down to. Like, if you are listening to this and you're 21, 22, 23 years old, fresh out of college, and you're getting your first youth ministry job, and you have, like, 10 kids or whatever, like, listen, I was that. Like, right? Like I entered in the church I grew up in after I graduated from high school, and I became the youth pastor of my church that I grew up in, and it was hard because all they remember, like a lot of the parents remembered me because my mom was in their Beth Moore class, and my mom's prayer requests were like, please pray for Frankie because he smoked, got caught with weed at school, or the dumbest stuff I was doing when I was in high school. And so then I came to Christ. Then my life was changed. I went to Bible college. And now I'm the youth pastor of their kids. And all they see me is Frankie, Sarah's son, not Pastor Frank, the ordained minister of the church. And so to earn that respect, I had to prove to them that I'm not just this overgrown teenager, that I actually care about things. And I mean, I think the biggest advantage in all that was being able to preach in the main service and show that, like, I am not just an overgrown teenager. I can talk about stuff and I can relate to teenagers, but also be very much an adult. Being in your early 20s, it's really hard to gain that respect because people in their early 20s in general don't have that kind of maturity in a lot of ways. So if you can just like look an adult in the eye, a parent in the eye, and say, "Hey, I'm glad you're here. I'm so appreciative of having your student in my ministry," thanking them and saying it's an honor that they would trust you with their kid. Like that stuff goes a long way. And you know, we could talk about whether or not wearing cargo shorts are cool or if you should wear a college shirt. I mean, I don't care about that kind of stuff, but we can talk about stuff depending on your context. But what matters is this: if you are a trustworthy person, parents will love you. And that's at the end of the day. If they can trust that you're not as silly and immature as their own kid, then you'll do fine in student ministry. I think the biggest issue with parents and student pastors is because sometimes student pastors act as immature as youth, as the youth they serve. So anyway, say hi to them in church. And then here's one thing. If I go to a sporting event or even a, like, I was just at a kid's musical, like theaters, you know, musical theater thing. I always try to find the parent. If I can sit next to the parent, you know, and just talk about their kid the whole time and sit next to them, that's great. Like sometimes when I go to football games, I'll try to find a parent, sit with them for a quarter or two. Obviously, if there's other kids there, I want to get to know, hang out with them because that's like a cool environment to be with the kids. But like, don't neglect the parents. Like, sit next to them, talk to them, find out like their interests. If they're at a football game, they might be interested in football. And if you're a football guy, that's easy to talk about. You can talk. I mean, just be careful when they start talking about gossip with the church. And if like, I really don't like the preaching of the pastor. Like, well, I also have to defend the church, so I'm not gonna engage in that conversation. But like, those are important, right? Find those parents, sit with them, talk with them. Don't be afraid of them. And like, you know, Josh Griffin had the greatest, I think Josh said this. He had a great quote. He's like, when it comes to extracurricular sports or events, show up late and leave early. Because it's not about the time you spend there. It's about being at the thing, right? Now, I don't always make that a thing because sometimes I like football games. So if you're inviting me to a football game, I'm going to show up at least on time and stay even afterwards so I can say hi to you after the game. But if it's like a ballet, bro, ballets, especially when it's one of those things where it's like, it's not just like your kid's like theater. It's like every kid ever. And so like you're watching 14 ballets and it's like they didn't tell you what time to show up. So you show up at 2 and they don't go up till 6. You have to sit there and watch like all these random kids and like these outfits where you kind of feel uncomfortable. It's like, I don't normally go to ballets and I don't have a kid here. It's weird and uncomfortable. Show up late, leave early, some of the best ideas ever. But yeah, find the parents, man. Find the parents, sit with them, talk with them. If you're bored, they probably are just as bored. So talking to them is probably a relief for them. They probably look forward to it. I remember going to a soccer game and like, you know, middle school soccer, it can be pretty rough. And I remember talking to a parent the whole time. And like at the end, they're like, man, I really appreciate you being here because middle school soccer is pretty difficult to watch. And so I'm just obviously just here for my kid. And sometimes the kid's on the bench. So I'm just watching other kids be terrible at soccer. And they usually don't have, and he said he doesn't have anyone to talk to at these games. And so when I was there, like he felt like he was really, really appreciative of it. Dude, talk to your parents. Talk to these people. Like It's great. Anyways, okay. So there's one when I think. So I'm about to preach a one-off this next Sunday, but there's been one series I think historically when I think of all the series I've done when it comes to the relationship of students and parents that have been the most impactful and the most beneficial, like leaps and bounds. I've done series like on Proverbs, on wisdom, but this series particular is so well done and so easy to contextualize that I was like, I always want people to point them to this message. And I'll link this onto the website. But there's a series on DYM called How to Raise Your Parents. And it is so good. And it talks about how to build trust, how to be a person that's trustworthy. And it gives you really good illustrations to show the kids of what it looks like to be a trustworthy person, how to communicate, how to gain their trust, and things like that. And then the way we did it, which I think is how they suggest it, is on the last week to do a panel discussion where you actually bring in parents to have those kind of tough questions and things like that. It's such a good series. Whatever it costs, it's worth it. Like, I've done it twice in both youth groups I've been in since I've had DYM membership or whatever. And it both times, it has just killed. It's done such a good job. And like, literally, it's one of those sermon series, at least for me in my context, where, like, kids remember that kind of stuff that you learn in that for, like, years to come. Like, to this day, I have kids come up to me who say, like, are you trust building or trust busting? And like, that means nothing if you're just listening to it right now. But if you do the series, you'll understand like, oh, I know what you mean right now. If you're trust building or trust busting. And it's such a good like line that's so memorable that comes from the series. It's easy to contextualize, easy to make it your own. And it just has really good bones to make a really good lesson or series for your messages, for that series on how to have better relationship with your parents. Dude, DYM should just pay me for that right there. Like, I'm not sponsored by DYM yet, and they should just pay me for that, because I'm sure all the dozens of listeners I have right now are going to go to DYM and download that sermon series. So, DYMers, if anyone has a connection with Josh or Doug, tell them to listen to this podcast and be like, yo, Frank just surged the demand for How to Raise Your Parents, and so you should give him a cut of the back. Anyways, let's move on. Another thing from DYM, this is free, so they don't make any money off of this. Chip Bragg, whose birthday just happened recently, he's an amazing guy. If you ever go to DYM and have customer service issues, he's the guy you talk to. And he, I've hung out with him a couple of times. He's the coolest dude ever, and he's worked in Hollywood. And so he has some stories. He worked with like All That or something. So he knew Keenan and Kel. Like, he just has the dopest stories. And like, he told me about like, anyways, this is not about Chip in that regard. But like, if you ever have an opportunity to talk to Chip, your day is better. He's like the Bob Goff of youth ministry. When you see him, you just want to hug him. And like, he's just a great dude. He wrote a book about mental health that has been super valuable for my context, for my student ministry, in the sense of like, we have kids in our youth group who have various mental health situations and conditions, and these were questions we didn't know how to answer or how to even broach the conversation. And especially with parents who deal with us on a day in and day out basis, either they're very well versed on it and they don't feel like they can talk to anybody about it, or they don't know what to do and they're just kind of in the air about it. This little booklet that DYM gives out for free about mental health has been one of the most valuable ways to at least begin the conversation of what mental health looks like amongst our students. And we've been able to give it to parents and be able to have those conversations on what it looks like to have, what does ADD mean? What does ADHD mean? What does, paranoia, anxiety, depression, suicide, all these different kind of conversations have been able to be had because of this book, because it gives us definitions and a common vocabulary. And it's been very, very helpful. And so the reason why I bring this into the conversation with parents is because parents have since asked me for this book, and I've been able to give it to the book, and they've been able to say this book has been helpful. And so it's a really good little ebook. It's free. There's no reason why you at least shouldn't have this PDF on your computer, because if that alone is just worth having the information for, right? One other thing I do, and this is the last thing before I talk about next Sunday, is I did this last year, and I won't be able to do it this year, but it was such a good experience last year. I want to do it again this year. So I do these summer classes for parents, and I do a 4-week thing. So even if your church doesn't have like a variation in the series, like you know, maybe like during the fall and the spring they'll have these like Bible classes or Sunday school classes or whatever. Like in the summer, if you have more time to do like a midweek class or something, maybe in conjunction with other Bible classes or something, I don't know. Maybe it could be also like a morning breakfast thing or whatever. Just for parents, just for like 4 weeks, to talk about issues specifically dealing with parents of teenagers is really cool. It accomplishes multiple things. One of it accomplishes a way to give out some special information that you and you alone only have because you work with teenagers. So you can kind of explain some of the nuances of what the children of these parents are going through that they don't understand, but you understand very well. Like, you know, you can explain like, yo, there's this TV show called 13 Reasons Why, and you may not know anything about it because you just think it's a Netflix show, but let's talk about this. Or certain issues on technology and apps and what Snapchat really is and all that kind of stuff. That's helpful, and parents want to know that stuff. And if you were able to kind of frame it in the context of like, hey, we're going to, for a month, for 4 weeks, we're going to talk about teenager issues, and here are the four categories. Like how to talk about dating, technology. One thing I would always mention, Orange gives out, I'd pay for this, like the phases stuff, like the different phases that kids go through. That stuff is so valuable and rich, and I give it to my parents, and I explain to him the whole marble thing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, like there's this idea where like you put a bunch of marbles in a jar, or I don't know if it's one way or the other. Either you have an empty jar and you put a marble in it for every week. No, it's definitely the opposite way. You have so many marbles for however many weeks from birth to they're 18. So it's like a couple hundred marbles, like a few hundred marbles. And every week you take a marble out. And as you do that, you realize that like your influence like and time with them is going to go quickly. And so you have to make much of the time you have and to be intentional with the time you have. I'll try to link the book that I use. There's one book in particular. What is the book called? I don't remember the name of the book right now, but I'll put it on my website. There's one book in particular that talks about not wasting the time, and like it's very quirk. I call it like a toilet reading because there's like pictures and like each page is really short, but it kind of really, by the end of the book, it's a really quick read, maybe like an hour long read. Like it kind of paints this picture, like make much of your time. It's important, right? Really cool book. You should read it. And give it to your parents. And so I spend that time doing that. And so besides just giving them information, the other side of this that's really good for parents is being able to allow parents to meet other parents of teenagers. Because, you know, sometimes, especially they compartmentalize their church life with their school life. So they meet a lot of parents, you know, who are on the PTA or, you know, other sports parents and other band parents or whatever. But they don't necessarily meet other parents of their youth group parents, you know what I'm saying? And that's probably, I would argue, more valuable, more important. Like, okay, great. We have a common denominator of where we buy cleats for our kids, but do we have a common denominator of how we're doing family devotional time? How are, you know, having parents be able to talk to one another, or at least understand that they're not the only one in that position. And so giving them an opportunity of community is super important, I think, as well. So to wrap all this up, obviously I didn't have a youth group last night, but this next Sunday I have Worship Together weekend, and this is a weekend where we're going to have parents and students together. I stole the name from Saddleback, because on those holidays, like, you know, Easter, Father's Day, Mother's Day, all those other days that are like special holidays, on those days, they don't have services on Sunday. They tell the kids to worship with their parents together. So we don't have that situation in our church. Our church, you have children's ministry up to fifth grade, and after that, you're expected to kind of go into the service. But I also want to give an opportunity for parents to see what's happening in our student ministry. So we're doing a thing called Worship Together Weekend, where the parents are going to be able to be invited to the student ministry and experience everything that we do, from the snacks, the games, the worship, the message, all that kind of stuff. I'm pretty excited about it. Hopefully, the parents will get a lot out of it. Hopefully more than just four parents show up, or, you know, but that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. So I sent an email. I actually mailed out a physical letter to the parents. I'm going to make a video to post on Facebook for the parents. And then I'm going to send a couple other emails. And my prayer, my hope is that the parents can come in and see what it's like to be infused and give the opportunity for their kids and parents to kind of worship together. And then at the end, they're going to have their own small group where they can meet with other parents. My intention for the night also is like to talk about, I haven't developed this yet, but I think what I'm going to lean towards in terms of the message is talking about like, you know, glorifying God with the time you have. So like as a parent, their job is to glorify God with the time they have with their students, and the students, their job is to glorify God with the time they have with their life, their school, but also with the relationship with their parents. And kind of just saying like everything's a moment, everything's momentary, everything's a season, and we're not to waste it. I think that's what I'm leaning on. By next week, you might hear something totally different. I might just be preaching Ephesians 6 next week. Who knows? I don't know what I'm doing, but that's what I'm leaning towards. This is the process. This is my mentality. This is the way I think, and you got a glimpse of the way I think through things, all right? That's literally everything I do for parents. I don't do anything special else. I don't have any like parent conference I send people to. You know, I don't have any kind of like special emails I send during the week based on the messages. I don't do any of that stuff. Other people do, and they probably kill it, right? I'm just being honest, telling you what I do, and in a month, maybe 6 months, I might have a whole different scheme. If I hire someone, I might add a ton more stuff, but this is what we're currently doing, and it's working well. Parents are happy, and that's good. All right, guys, this has been a good podcast. It's extra long. I think this might be the longest one ever, but hey, parent ministry is important. You're not just a pastor to students. You're the pastor of parents as well, so do a good job shepherding them, all right? Until next week, bye, buddies.